Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Friday, April 26, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there. How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Yeah, all good over here. Happy Friday evening. I like coming on a Friday because I really feel like I'm bringing our listeners into the weekend because I'm nearly there. I can smell it.
You actually are not that far from the weekend. You are slightly closer than we are here on the West Coast, which includes me and also our other guest today, Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
I mean, Brian already appears to be out the weekend.
I think Brian started the weekend a couple of hours ago. So this ought to be fun, everybody. Buckle up. Here we go. Charlotte, you wrote a piece just this morning about some changes coming to a very notable team at Apple.
Right. So there are three members of Sir Jony Ive's industrial design team who will have left in the coming months. Two have left already, and one is set to leave in the near future. Their names
reportedly.
The Wall Street Journal picked up this. Two of them have confirmed they're leaving.
Okay.
So Rico Zorkendorfer and Danielle de Ulias, have left already. Well, another Julian Honegg is set to go as well. The two that have left already have over 35 years experience at Apple between them. Mm-hmm. So these are significant players. And it's a significant team, as you said, because first of all, people don't leave the industrial design team at Apple. It's a very prestigious and closely knit team. It's been together a long time. And, you know, it's only 24 strong about that, a couple of dozen people in the team. So three departures is, you know, it's not an insignificant chunk of a team of that size.
Sure. And it's going to be expected at some point that there will be turnover, I think.
Right. In no way, from my perspective, a doom and gloom story. In fact, Mr. Zorkendorfer himself actually said, look, we've got incredible new designers, a new generation. What we've been able to do these last few decades will continue. The talent is there. He put that on record in the Wall Street Journal. I don't think it would be right to write this up as some kind of impending disaster. Oh, my God, Apple's never going to make anything that looks nice again. I really don't. I think you could very comfortably look at this as exciting new blood coming into a very important team at Apple.
Okay.
I would even say that the real story here, and I thought this many times in the past, whenever the importance of the design team, the longevity of the design team, the amount of power the design team, like stories about the design team, when they've come up, it's always struck me as weird in a cool and fascinating way that there's been so little turnover. Like the real story here is that this is the that turnover is so low here that this is a story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, you know, who knows who, like, designer, like, no one knows who designers are, right?
Right.
And here, the Wall Street Journal has to get dedicated significant resources into reporting on three people leaving this design team. I mean, that's fascinating in and of itself, but that it's so rare as to be news is in and of itself just weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like company, like teams within a company don't stay together as long as this team has. And it's not at all surprising that two people who have almost, I mean, so 35 years between, and we don't know if it's 20 and 15 or 17 and 18 or, you know, some other breakdown.
Right.
It's, you know, when you've made a lot of money and you've been doing the kind of intense work that these teams have been doing for so long, go spend some money and you know, time with your family and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what one of them actually said on the record they were going to do. We don't know what the other two are heading off to do, but one absolutely made it clear they wanted to spend a bit more time with their family.
And that's not a euphemism for having been fired either.
Right. No, I don't believe so, no. I have to say, I think Brian is absolutely right. I think it's fascinating that to, you know, a team that, do we know who the designers in Microsoft or Google or any of those places are? No, we don't, because they probably change fairly frequently.
Well, this name another team, designer, period. You know, whether it's right, technology related or not, like a lot of people can't.
This is a very close team that has been part of creating some very iconic items. Mm-hmm. And so it is, I think, significant news. It's why I wrote it. It's why we're discussing it. And it is interesting that how long they have stayed together. We know that culture and is important at Apple. I linked to a story just the other day. Sir Jony Ive did a really interesting interview with a design magazine, in which he really talked about values and how they were embedded in him. And that's clearly the case with this team as well. And so it is significant that people are leaving. But like I say, I don't think Apple is going to have any problem in attracting talented designers to its company.
But that's the other part of the story, too, is that Apple has been adding to the design team. That is also new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so although Apple, there's still only about 24 people in it.
Yes, but there is already new blood in the team.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's whether or not, I would assume that Sir Jony has known that these three folks, the two folks were going to leave and that the third person is going to leave. I would assume that he knew and that they were, you know, planning for this, and that's why they brought in new blood in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, the nature of Mr. What's his name? Zorgendorst?
Droffer, yeah. I want to profoundly apologize for my pronunciation.
Likewise. The nature of his very friendly quotes for the journal suggest that it was a very friendly departure, and you know, that Apple is bringing in new folks here, definitely not the end of the world. I'm sure that things will be a-okay.
Well, the thing that was notable to me about this was that why are we finding out about it? Because the Wall Street Journal is covering it. Like, this isn't one of those things where somebody who watches a bunch of like Apple employee LinkedIn profiles or anything like that is watching those and seeing these changes. It was that the Wall Street Journal found out about this, and the Wall Street Journal decided it was newsworthy, which to me was pretty interesting, because there's not always a ton of stuff like this that's news that's actually broken through some sort of mainstream outlet, the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or Wired magazine or, you know, whatever it might be. So I thought that was notable. But I also did part of that, Brian, was the thing that you pointed out, which is that the team has been expanding. So they have been adding new people to it. And to me, that's interesting because I can't wait to see what the new people do. Like, we know about the people who built the iPhone and built the iPad and the Apple Watch and, you know, all these different kinds of things. And some of that stuff's been around a while. And so if you are a person for whom there really isn't a whole lot of design stuff that you had to live with every day, if you were never a person that had to carry around a BlackBerry and now you get the opportunity to design new phones, knowing that the iPhone, you know, like, the iPhone wasn't a new revolutionary thing for you. It was just a thing that was always in the world if you're a much younger person. Then I'm really interested what kind of perspective those folks are going to bring to this design team.
Yep. In a nutshell.
Also, look, we've done it on this show. Plenty of people that follow Apple closely have complained that things sometimes get a bit samey, right? Mm-hmm. Products look the same. There's not much difference from one generation to the next. Well, maybe this is an opportunity for that to happen.
Yeah, could be.
Cool.
Also, I know people that still use BlackBerries, just FYI.
Well, at one point, that was like the only sort of smartphone.
And yeah, I had one a million years ago, but people I know still use them.
Mm-hmm. You know, because it's got a physical keyboard. Correct. You know, that's important.
That is generally the reason why people use them.
Yeah, I know a number of Android users who ended up with Android phones because they wanted a physical keyboard. So it's still a thing that people want. But, I, you know, like you all were talking about, I think finding out what it's like for people who always knew there was an iPhone, always knew there was an iPad, people who came up while Apple was a major player and very dominant in a lot of technology, you know, whether it was development or discussion, or they made something that's really cool that everybody really likes. And being people who lived in that environment, I'm really interested to see what they do, especially because we're getting compelling options from other companies and different sorts of hardware, whether it's computers or, you know, there's some interesting computer stuff going on. There's always people trying to do something interesting and cool with mobile phones. Now that sort of everybody has a smartphone, you kind of have to figure out how to get people to upgrade from the one that they have to the one that you want to sell them. So in that environment, I'm really interested to see what this team comes out with next. I think it's going to be great. Now, because it's Friday, we're going to talk a little bit about, we'd like to do a little bit of picking here on the show today. We'd like to have, we're going to do a few little picks for things that people want to, make sure that everybody else knows about. So, Brian, let's go ahead and start with you. What have you got to pick for us today?
My mute button, firstly. Secondly, the ZenPod case for AirPods.
Okay. And so what is a ZenPod case?
I like having a case on my AirPods charging case. Mm-hmm. I do very much enjoy that. And I've been a big fan of Air Vinyl Designs. They had one of the first leather cases for AirPod cases. And I don't know, I've got several of them sitting right here in front of me. One of them is the ZenPod, which is one of their recent recent product introductions. It turns your AirPods case into a fidget spinner.
Oh, okay.
So it's got two finger pads on either side, and each one of them is connected to a bearing. And can you hear it spin? Wait, hold on. Let me see if I can do this here. Right by the microphone. I'm not doing it right. Can you hear it spinning?
No.
Anyway, yeah. So you can turn your AirPods into a fidget spinner. Now, I absolutely and positively already play with my AirPods case all the time. I find it extraordinarily satisfying to open and close the lid.
I was going to say, you're a lid flipper, aren't you?
I'm a lid flipper, yeah. And I also think that, and I in no way think this was coincidental or happenstance, the sound that AirPods make when they fall into, mm-hmm. you know, when the magnet pulls them into the case itself, it's a very satisfying sound. Mm-hmm. That click. Can you hear the click?
Yes.
That was right? That's definitely deliberate.
Yeah, that's definitely deliberate. And I'm a lid flipper for sure. I find it's just very satisfying. It's extremely satisfying that way when you feel the magnet like just grabbing hold of that lid and just like pulling it closed. That's some good industrial design right there. Speaking of industrial designers, so the ZenPod adds to this by turning it into a fidget spinner too. Come on,
interesting.
Yeah,
that's not. I'm not a real fidget spinner sort of person, but for people who are, I can see that being super cool because you're going to already have your AirPods with you anyway.
Yes.
So that seems like a pretty nifty thing.
Plus, so, no one's going to look at you like the dork you are when if you pull out your ZenPod case, AirPods case, rather than pulling out an actual fidget spinner.
Are you, I can see that. Confident about that.
You will absolutely and positively get more looks for being a weird dork as an adult pulling out a fidget spinner.
Okay.
An actual fidget spinner. Whereas, you know, lots of people do carry around their AirPods case.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Darn tootin', it's fair.
Charlotte, how about you? What do you have to pick for us today?
So I am experimenting with writing my stories for Mac Observer with an app called Drafts, which is available for free in the App Store. Mm-hmm. And it also has a premium version.
Yes.
I think it's $9.99 or something. I really like it. It is clear. It's plain text. You can add things. You can add links and things as well. Markdown language. You can add. You can use it for screen captures. I believe there is an option to do that. So I'm going to write it. I'll link to it probably next week on the site when I've had a bit more time to play with it. But actually, I'm really enjoying using it. It also, unlike things like if you write a piece of text in TextEdit, you kind of have to save it as a file and dig out the file if you want to make sure you're not going to lose it. Or this saves automatically in an inbox section. You can flag things and archive things, so it's easy to. It's a much easier way to organize the drafts that you're writing up and creating. So far, I'm pretty happy with it. I haven't dived into the premium version yet, but I may well do. But the free version is working rather nicely at the moment. I'm pretty happy with it. It's got different workspaces as well. So stories I write for TMO, things I want to note down for other places. You can split it all up and actually organize your writing as opposed to doing that thing that makes our colleague Joel Martorello panic and have loads of windows out and about.
So Drafts is the premium version is available through subscription. It's 20 bucks a year, I think, $19.99 a year. Or $2 a month, and I use Drafts constantly. Right. Like the minute it came out, I am casually acquainted with the developer. His name is Greg, and he said, "Hey, 5 is out." And as soon as it was out, I went to the App Store and I downloaded it, and I saw that it was going to be $20 for a year, and I went, "Okay," because I get so much great stuff out of it because you can do whatever you want with that particular piece of text, which is super great. I really like Drafts a lot.
Yeah, you can. It doesn't put it, you know, it doesn't weirdly format it. You copy and paste in plain text, which is really useful, but you can also use Markdown and put links in and stuff, which I really like. I really like the automatic saving. I really like how you can organize your text. That's very important to me as well.
Yeah, and there's
and
a lot
like,
of...
And you can actually... Am I right? You can. Yeah, you can. You can write in multiple languages. So if you want to write in plain text, if you want to write in Markdown or JavaScript, that's just one click of a button.
Yep.
So for me, for like you say, $20 a year for an app you might use every day, basically, seems pretty competitive value for me. What are the tricks I should be playing with, Kelly? What have I missed?
Well, the first thing I will tell you, because everybody's workflow is different and how everybody does stuff is a little different. So I'm not going to tell you there's the thing that you're missing. But what I will tell you is that there's a series of screencasts available on the website itself for Drafts. Okay. And if you go there, David Sparks did them of Mac Sparky fame and the Automators podcast and Mac Power Users podcast. And he walks through some of the stuff that you can do, like, you know, some of the preferences and some of the things that you can adjust, and shows examples. This is where I think the magic of Drafts comes in, which is the actions that you can use. So you can automatically text something to somebody, or you can automatically you can have an action where you tap on it and it will take the thing that you wrote and it will put it somewhere else or share it out to a different app or different things like that. Right. And some of them are super duper handy to use, and they do a bunch of different things depending on what your workflow is. So you'll look at one, like there may be one there that I look at and go, I don't understand why anyone would ever use this. And it may be for you, Charlotte, your number one action. So...
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What I has really appealed to me is it actually can be highly personalized. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some writing apps are quite, like, do a very nice job, but they can be quite restricted. You use it this way and it does this thing. I like the flexibility that Drafts seems to have.
Yeah, the that's what I like about it is that whatever your workflow is, there's probably a really great way for you to use it. So that I enjoy that a whole heck of a lot.
Also, it has a really nice grammar test whereby if you hover over the word, it explains the horrible grammatical error you've made. Obviously, I don't ever make grammatical or spelling errors, but
you saw someone do that once, right?
If one were to do that, which I understand some people do, it doesn't just say do the Microsoft Word thing of just auto-correcting it. It actually says, explains the error you've made, which I rather like.
Yeah, that's super handy. I like it. Yeah, Drafts is great. And if you use it on your watch,
I'm going to dive into the premium version as well.
Excellent. Brian, are you a Drafts user? We've lost Brian to his fidget spinning AirPod case.
I am not a Drafts user. I am a Scrivener nut.
Oh, nice. Scrivener is also a really great app.
So I love Scrivener. I use Scrivener to write my book, and I use it to write longer form things. I really like Drafts for short form, you know, news writing, that kind of thing. But I absolutely also agree with Brian that Scrivener is a wonderful, wonderful writing tool.
Yeah. Now, Brian, do you use the iOS version or just the Mac version?
Do you want an answer to that question?
I guess not, considering how you were pretty flustered when I asked you.
Well, I have an answer, but it's a very Brian-centric answer, and B, it's a somewhat involved answer.
Well, if you don't, like, I just sort of figured, you know, yeah, I tried it. It wasn't for me because I can't long form on iOS or, you know, something, you know, it could be something just that simple. So I wasn't sure.
I absolutely have it. I use it. I use it when I am reading and editing, and being in reading mode on an iPad is a very different editing experience than editing in front of my Mac. I see different things. Catch different things. So,
I can see that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I'm gonna close out here. I have because I can do this because I'm hosting the show. I'm gonna give you two picks, and both of them are Kickstarters, and both of them are albums. And the first one is an album by Keelan King, who is a guy who lives here in Portland, and he did a record ages ago called Star Pilot's Lament, and it's this like hip hop album, but it's all science fiction. It's set in this science fiction universe, and he has a new one now that is it's called Ion the Young Shuttle. He had a kid, and he's making a record for his daughter, and it's super duper cute. It's a book. And it's going to be super great, I think, because I really liked the Star Pilot's Lament records. And he's getting to be about, he's in the neighborhood of halfway funded, and I want to see the whole thing happen. So if you get an opportunity, you should check it out. And you can get some cool stickers for $5. If you want a digital copy of the book, it's 15. And the actual printed book itself is 30. And I really dig it. And the other one that I want to point out is another one that is another nerdy record. This is by people that I know. They're here in Portland. And they are called the PDX Broadsides. And they're making an album called Relatable Content. And I haven't heard any of it yet, but their last couple of records have been super fantastic. And if you get an opportunity, you should absolutely check it out. You can kickstart that album for $10. You get a digital download. And if you are a person like me who likes physical CDs and such, you can get in on that for $20, which includes a set of stickers and also a digital copy. So you should check those out. They're super fun. They're pretty interesting. And if nothing else, maybe I've given you some new music to listen to over the weekend. So there you go. I would like to thank both of you for being here today. I hope our picks are useful to people. And if you have a pick, you can always feel free to cruise by and leave it for us in the show notes. Or if you have an awesome Drafts tip for Charlotte, you should leave one of those as well.
Ooh, and yeah. Tweet me as well, @CharlotteAHenry.
Yes. And you can also tweet the show at CMO Daily. Leave comments in the show notes or email observations@macobserver.com. So, Charlotte, thanks for coming by today.
Thanks. Have a lovely weekend, gang.
And you as well. Brian, have a lovely weekend.
Likewise.
I will talk to all of you again on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.